The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
It's the show that Mark Twain once called smarter'n a blue jay what can talk possum and faster'n a naked fat man riding a bolt of lightning.
So here's your plain-spoken homespun host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to another bunker video on the Eric Metaxas Show. Forgive me for screaming. It is so extraordinary, this time we're living through. It's kind of cool that we get to do this together, that we have the ability to be online, which obviously, you know, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to do this, and to have a sense of community. I was particularly encouraged by yesterday's interview with KT McFarland. If you missed that, go back. We put it on our YouTube channel. One of the greatest interviews I've done in a long time. She is an amazing woman. I hope she runs for president soon. Okay, so a couple of kooky things. First of all, today we've got Pastor Robert Jeffress coming up really soon. I want to mention that. And I want to ask you guys, what have you been watching lately? Anything interesting? Because I want to bring up this Dennis Prager movie.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned this before, and I think everyone needs to go. I think we were watching it on, Amazon Prime, I think, or BritBox. The Bleak House version with Gillian Anderson. It's an amazing version. I know you've seen it, you and your wife, and my wife and I have seen it. It has the best British stars. And I mean, people you have seen in all, anything British, they're in it. And it's an incredible
piece. Yeah, I know. It's a lot of the same actors, and they're all unbelievable. We've been watching on Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Netflix a lot of these BBC productions. You put in Dickens or Jane Austen. Amazing stuff. I guess I want to mention our friend Dennis Prager has put out a movie with Adam Carolla, which I saw when it came out a few months ago. If you're looking for something to watch during this strange COVID era we're living through, it's called No Safe Spaces. It's about the suppression of free speech in America. It is chilling, but it is also very entertaining the way they did it. They talked to a lot of people that it's an impressive list of guests, but it's called No Safe Spaces. And actually you can go to nosafespaces.com. And the reason I'm saying this is because since Dennis Prager is a friend and a member of the so-called Salem Radio faculty, I just learned yesterday that if you sign up for it, you can watch it for months. It's not one of these things that you can only watch for 48 hours or 72 hours or something like that. But they're, because we're going through this weird time and people are looking for stuff. But No Safe Spaces is, I mean, look, I not only do I recommend it, I more than recommend it. I hope everyone in America can see it because it is one of those things of what we're facing today. Later today, we're going to be related subject. In hour two today, we're talking to somebody from the Alliance Defending Freedom. What they tell us every time we talk to them every month, it's absolutely chilling what's happening in America with the Southern Poverty Law Center. We need to be aware and awake as Americans, and even if you're not an American, it doesn't matter if you love freedom, you have to know what is happening in America right now. And the issue of free speech, it's a staggering reality that we have to fight. It's not enough just to be aware and to be angry. We have to fight. So the first thing I would say is see No Safe Spaces. Go to nosafespaces.com. Support people like the Alliance Defending Freedom. They really need our help. And when you listen an hour or two today, you'll see. I mean, it's just stunning what we're facing, but we kind of have to step up. Otherwise, we can't complain. Speaking of stepping up, I wanted to say that yesterday, Albin,
yes,
you and Chris know how much money we raised yesterday for Food for the Poor, for this outreach to Guatemala.
Should we do a drum roll?
No, no, we can't afford a drum roll because it was goose egg for those guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's literally $0. And I thought, you know what? I'm not into guilt trips, but at least I kind of feel obliged to mention it to our audience. We need to help the folks at Food for the Poor because the tragedy in Guatemala doesn't go away. It's something that it was there before this coronavirus. It's going to be there after the coronavirus. So I just want to make sure that it's only for this month that we're doing this fundraiser. But I just thought sometimes when things go really bad for us, we can do something good for somebody else. And it gives us a sense of perspective. So I just wanted to encourage anybody, if you're thinking of giving, please go to our website. It's metaxastalk.com. And Albin, maybe you can find the phone number for us because I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, but yeah. I have it right here.
Freedom, the work that they do, we're going to talk about that in hour two. But right now, literally just this month, we're doing a fundraiser for Food for the Poor. And the situation in Guatemala is so bad. I think we have a clip where somebody who was down there tells us part of why they're having these problems. James, would you play that clip?
Average daytime temperatures in Guatemala have risen over the past decade, and when it does rain, it often pours for days, washing the topsoil away. Guatemala already has the highest rate of child malnutrition in the Western Hemisphere, and in the Western Highlands, indigenous subsistence farmers make up half the population.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we cannot imagine what they go through in these places. These are rural villages that the folks from Food for the Poor, they travel. You know, you fly to Guatemala and then you drive 3 and 4 hours to reach these people and to help them. And so, you know, we don't always want to be annoying our audiences by asking for money. But I do have to say there are tremendous needs out there. Many of us have been really richly blessed. Some of us right now cannot afford to give, and God knows that. But those of us who can't afford to do something, I just want to say there's nothing sweeter in life than blessing someone else when you have that ability. To thank you, we've got a number of ways that we want to thank you and that we always do thank you. The kookiest thing of all, every week we have a grand prize winner. So this Friday, Albin, it's this Friday, right?
Yeah, this Friday we should be announcing, yes. Prize winner, you can give any amount. It could be $10, $20, $10,000, but each person gets one chance, and then we pick it out of a virtual barrel, and it is by chance that you will win, hopefully, a grand prize, okay? And oh, by the way, here's the phone number, okay? It's 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Or you go to the website.
844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. I just want to encourage people. It's just amazing. When you get these reports out of Guatemala, it's moving. It's difficult to hear because you realize this is the reality for these folks. But again, the good news is that our friends at Food for the Poor are constantly reaching out and doing something, and they make it possible for us to do something. So it's not like we're hopeless here. We can help these folks. It's the love of God that God has blessed us. We have the ability to never even think about whether we have drinking water. We never think about whether we have food. We've got a huge social safety net in America that the poorest of the poor can find food in America. But in places like Guatemala, the idea of having children suffer from malnutrition and get all kinds of horrible diseases because there's no safe drinking water, we can do something about that. So I just want to encourage you folks, this is an opportunity. It's a blessing to be able to give. And so, again, anybody who gives $100, we're going to give you a free subscription to Metaxas Super. So you get commercial free programming. Also, I guess I don't want to forget to say that it is every $80 that's given feeds a child for 1 year. That's how they leverage. It's amazing. That's how Food for the Poor leverages the money that we give them. American money is worth so much in an economy like Guatemala. And for $80, they can feed a kid for a year. And that's also drinking water for life. They provide, they drill wells. $320, if you've done the math, obviously, you get that's a family of four. You can really change lives with a gift. So I want to encourage you. Maybe we'll hear from Tom Tradup in hour two to get more from his perspective.
Yeah, because Tom is part of the Salem Radio Network, who's vetted this great organization, and he actually went down there.
I know we're just about out of time. We've got more kooky bunker videos also in hour two, but right now, Robert Jeffress, don't go away.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Guess what? I have Pastor Robert Jeffress on the program. We have him via Skype. So if you're watching, it's just like he's in the studio. Pastor Jeffress, welcome.
Great to see you again, Eric.
Great to see you again. And great to see that you have a new book out. I'm, of course, familiar with the book, so I'll try not to talk too much. It's better when I don't read the book because I just shut up. The book is called Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Now, you, for folks who don't know you, you're a senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, where I have preached. What an amazing church you have. I just want to say that up front. I think I'm happy to say, I think you're aware of how amazing it is. And I don't just mean big. It's just a magnificent church. I look forward to being with you there again. But you're also known for speaking on political matters. So this book, Courageous, what is it for folks who don't know what it is?
Well, this book is a book, not just a culture war book. It's bigger than that. You know, C.S. Lewis described this world as enemy-occupied territory. And if you're a Christian trying to live out your faith, you understand that phrase. I mean, Eric, think about it. We have incoming coming in from every direction. If you're a Christian, you have attacks from without, a culture that's increasingly hostile toward God, not to mention just the everyday challenges like coronavirus or tornadoes or other things that you face. We have attacks from within. We have an old sin nature, at least the residue of it, that pulls us away from God. And if it weren't enough, we have attacks from below. We have an adversary, Satan, who is absolutely hell-bent on destroying everything important to us. And yet, in spite of all of these challenges, I believe God's given us what we need, not just to survive, but thrive. And what I've done, Eric, in this book is I've taken the top 10 survival tactics that survivalists tell us we need in a plane crash or an earthquake. Things like don't panic, remember your training, do the next right thing. And I've applied those principles to how we can live out our faith in this challenging world.
It's interesting because I've been thinking about this lately, that there are a lot of people, and I understand this, that they're tired of fighting, or maybe they feel they just don't want to fight. They want to think that they can just get along with other people. And I understand that, but I think it's our failure sometimes in the church to tell people, listen, we really are in a war. We really do have an adversary. We're not just making this up. It's not just a different way of looking at things. This is really true. We don't need to feel embattled, however, because Jesus really is with us. But we need to get serious that he's with us in a battle. I think many churches, many pastors, they're just not talking about this.
Well, that's right. You know, I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great expositor of Scripture of yesteryear, who said anybody who doesn't realize he's in a spiritual battle is in a drugged and hazed condition. And I got in a little bit of trouble a few days ago for quoting a Jesuit priest in something that he said. He said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spirit beings having a human experience." Now, I know that's not theologically correct. We're both spirit and human beings. But the point is well taken, that there is a spiritual reality. It's invisible, but it's real behind every conflict we're facing right now. And Eric, people who don't realize that end up as spiritual roadkill. And that's why I wrote this book, Courageous.
Well, and again, what we're talking about, it's not just our point of view. It's not a Christian philosophy. Either it's reality or it's not. And I really think that for much of my life, I didn't want to think that it was, or I thought, well, that's for hyper-spiritual people, maybe. But it's kind of funny, because I think Jesus calls us to the battle. He calls us to be courageous, and we need to call each other to the battle. Because there are a lot of people that they're just, by not fighting, they really are. I mean, it almost would be like, you know, being in a bitter battle in a war and having some people just kind of hanging out in the other room, and you think, can't you help? Please help. This is a real war, and whether you like it or not, you are involved in it.
Well, that's right. I mean, you can't sit this one out. I mean, you're in the war. The question is, are you going to be victorious or not? And by the way, this war comes, the attacks from every kind of direction imaginable. A young mother was reading this book, Courageous, just a couple of weeks ago. She wrote me, and she was reading the first chapter, the first survival tactic, Don't Panic. And she said that very week she received news that she had cancer and only 3 or 4 months to live. And she said her first instinct was to panic. I mean, what is this going to mean for my children, for my mate? But she remembered the words I quoted from Joshua 1 when God said to Joshua, "Do not be fearful, do not be dismayed, take courage, for I'm with you wherever you go." So we're in a battle against all kind of opponents every day, Eric. And this book, Courageous, is designed to give people practical tools that they can use to overcome those battles.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I really do think, because we live in a culture that is so overwhelmingly secular, that even when we don't want to buy into it, we find ourselves buying into it and sometimes accepting the idea that we're not in a battle, and therefore we can relax. And I think that there's something to be said for that. I mean, when we read the scripture and it tells us to trust God, it's the Lord's way of saying relax, but it's not a carnal relaxation. It's a different kind of thing, that we're living in our faith. And I know what you talk about in the book is that we have to walk by faith. And if we don't, we won't be bold. So I guess that's my long way of saying that I think a lot of people, they don't have the real courage and the real conviction of what the scripture says. So they kind of take a little bit of a back seat. They're not bold in their encounters with other people. You talk about that, too, about being bold in our faith, that we can't just walk and live in half measures. We need to know that we believe it and really walk in it.
Well, that's right. I mean, Jesus used that very interesting metaphor when he said we are salt in this world as believers. We're to be distinctive. God left us here to be a preservative, not to prevent the decay of the culture, but at least to decay it. And if we take that back seat you're talking about, we become more like the world than allowing the world to become more like us as Christians. And Jesus had a very stern word about that. He said, if salt loses its saltiness, it has become worthless. And unfortunately, many Christians have become worthless in their effectiveness because they have taken that back seat and say, hey, I'm a lover, not a fighter, and I'm not going to be in this battle. Well, you've just lost when you say that.
Well, it is interesting because, as I say, I think the culture tells us over and over that, you know, don't take it that seriously. Then you become a fanatic. And I think we've just dumbed down the faith to the point where it doesn't really require anything of us. And if we know the scripture, I guess we have to make a decision, and that's part of what you're saying in the book Courageous, is that we have to decide whether this is true or isn't. And if it really is true, we have to live like it's true, and we have to remind ourselves that it's true. Otherwise, we really will get – we will drift into the world's view of things, which is secular and meaningless.
That's right. And, you know, Jesus was very honest with his disciples in John 16:33 and with all of us. If you are a Christ follower, if you do live out your convictions, he said, in this world, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have tribulation. Jesus never promised an exemption from difficulties for those who follow him. In fact, he guaranteed difficulties. You're going to have tribulation, but then he added the word, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. Short term, I think the future is very dicey for Christians in this culture. Yes, I mean, you and I both know we're living in a respite, in a kind of a little bit more faith-friendly environment with this administration. But Eric, I believe when the left regains control, not if, when they regain control, there's going to be an attack against Christians in the church like we've never seen before. It's not going to be incremental. It's going to be intensive. And that's why I wrote this book, Courageous, in part to help prepare Christians for what I believe is the coming battle.
Well, it's interesting. Now, when you do say that, why do you say not if, but when? Because I think sometimes because of this administration, I have I've been encouraged to think along the lines that America is turning away from some of these the temptation to secularism. But I guess you're saying you think it is inevitable that we're going to go back.
It is inevitable. I don't know when it's going to happen, if it's going to be in 5 years or 500 years. But, you know, I'm preaching through the book of Revelation right now in our church, verse by verse. And we know how the seven final years of Earth's history is going to be. There's going to be a one world dictator. There's going to be no freedom of commerce, speech, religion. That means America will have ceased to exist as we know it today. So something's going to lead to that final apostasy. And so that's why I say, you know, short term, the trajectory is down. But ultimately, as the book of Revelation promises, we win if we're with Jesus.
Wow. We're going to go to a break. Folks, we'll be right back with Pastor Robert Jeffress. The book is Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
I like the way sparkling earrings lay against your... Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road. How long you gonna stay here?
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Pastor Robert Jeffress. You probably already know him. If you don't, stick around. The new book is called Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Pastor Jeffress, one of the things I always talk about is how we live in a culture that basically says the meaning of life is that there really is no meaning, or we can't know what the meaning is. And so just try to enjoy it. It'll be over soon. There's no afterlife. We don't know anything, but we know that there's probably nothing. That's very different from the message of this book, Courageous, where we're in a war. It's an eternal battle between good and evil. We have the privilege of fighting on the side of the good for God's purposes in eternity. I always think that when people lean in to this idea of what is the meaning of life and what is the meaning of our lives individually, it's really, really encouraging and empowering, to use those cliche words. But it's a whole different way of living, and you can only live that way through the Christian faith.
Well, that's right. I'll have to tell you a funny story. I'm preaching this Sunday from Revelation 15, and I decided not to let a good crisis go to waste. So the title of the message is the coronavirus a judgment from God? And we're going to talk about if it's one of those final plagues mentioned in Revelation. Well, Monica Lewinsky, yes, the Monica Lewinsky, was here in Dallas yesterday. She saw the billboard and she tweeted out yesterday, look at this sermon title. And then she said her commentary on it was two words, we are, and then she used an expletive. You know, actually, Monica is giving some pretty good theology there, because if there is no God, if we are simply the victims of a random universe and we are subject to random illnesses and random people, we are in trouble. But the good news of the Bible is there is a God. He has a plan. History is not circular. It's linear, and it is leading someplace, and that is to the return of Jesus Christ, to reward the righteous, to judge the unrighteous. And that's the only hope we really have. And it's that hope against which I wrote this book, Courageous. Again, the short-term future doesn't look that great. The long-term future is tremendous for those who know Christ.
Well said. You and I have both been criticized for being political, I guess, for leaving the religious lane, as some people put it. I don't think either of us sees it that way. You've been criticized far more than I have, and you've been far more outspoken. I want to ask you, you know, with regard to the meaning of life and the battle in which we find ourselves, why do you, this is for folks maybe who don't know what to think about this, why do you think that being politically involved and talking on political issues, particularly right now, really is part of the outworking of one's faith?
Well, look, I think you said it well, Eric, when you talked about leaving the religious lane to go to the political lane. I don't believe that as Christians we look at it that way. Our faith ought to impact every part of our lives. We don't compartmentalize. We don't do what the left wants Christians to do and keep their faith to themselves or keep it contained to that 1 hour on Sunday mornings in church. That's why they talk about freedom of worship instead of freedom of religious expression. Look, the left doesn't care what you do on Sunday mornings from 11 to 12. They couldn't care less. What they are scared to death of is Christians going out and voting their convictions or sharing their convictions in the marketplace of life. And I don't think we have that option as a Christian. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, in the Old Testament times, it was the king who determined the spiritual direction of the nation. If it was a righteous king, God blessed the nation. If it was an unrighteous king, God cursed the nation. But you didn't get to vote for king in the times of the Bible. That was kind of a given. But John Jay said it best when he said, God has given us the privilege in this Christian nation of choosing our leaders. And Eric, I believe every time we go into the voting booth, we are either casting a vote for righteousness or we're casting a vote for unrighteousness. And when we as Christians stay at home, we're saying, I couldn't care less what happens to this country. I don't think that's a tenable position for Christians.
I mean, I certainly don't either. But why do you think so many people shrink from politics? I was really I was sorry to read that my friend Tim Keller talked about how Christians shouldn't get, you know, in bed with any political party, as though the two political parties were equal. I think maybe 40 or 50 years ago you could make that case, but it has become so dramatically different for me. But I know that many, many pastors, more than not, very much shy away from the kind of engagement that you don't.
Well, I think what they have done is they have cloaked their cowardice in theology. They have found a theology that will excuse their unwillingness to take a stand. They don't want to take unpopular stands in their church. They can't stand any kind of criticism. They are wimpy Christians. And I think it's increasingly hard to be a wimpy Christian in this culture. There's no mushy middle. You're either on the side of righteousness or unrighteousness.
Well, that's putting it pretty succinctly. Before we go to the break, you're going to be quite active in this year, aren't you, as an advocate for this administration, I should say?
Well, look, I am a well-known supporter of President Trump. I continue to favor him and favor his policies and so forth. Because of my role as a Fox News contributor and so forth, you know, there are limits to what I'm able to do in organized ways. But I don't intend to back off at all in my vocal support for this president.
Okay, we're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to my friend, Pastor Robert Jeffress. The book is Courageous.
songs you hear on the rock and roll radio. And when a young girl doesn't have any friends, that's a really nice place to go. Folks hoping you'd turn out cool, but they had to take you out of school. You're a little touched, you know, Angie, baby.
Hey there, folks. That's Helen Reddy. I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm talking to Pastor Robert Jeffress. The brand new book is Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Pastor Jeffress, I have to ask you, just because I so rarely get someone like you on the program, you and I really have been vocal in our support for the president. But of course, that doesn't mean we agree with every single thing he does. And I think people try to say that if we support somebody, they try to make it sound like we agree with every little thing he does or tweets or has done in his past. And that's obviously not the case. How do you deal with that in your life?
I had a mutual friend of ours, a commentator on Fox News, ask me, now, Pastor, do you endorse everything in Donald Trump's life? I said, I don't even endorse everything in my life. How can I endorse everything in everybody's life? Look, I think when people ask that question, the truth is, if they are really asking that question, they already know the answer to that. I think there is an attempt to shame evangelicals like you and me for our support of President Trump, and they think if they can try to tie us to everything he's ever said or done in his life, maybe we will disassociate ourselves from the president and not support him any longer. I think there's a real strategy to doing that. It's not working. People know that when we support President Trump, we're supporting his policies. Eric, I tell people, I voted for Ronald Reagan, the first divorced president in history. When I voted for him, I wasn't voting to endorse divorce.
Right.
I was voting for him because of his policies.
Well, exactly. And it's just an extraordinary thing. Part of the reason I very rarely criticize the president is because never in my life have I seen a president so criticized for things for which he ought to be criticized, but mostly for things for which he ought not to be criticized. Just ridiculous criticisms of every single thing he does. And I often feel that even if he does something that I don't like, I tend not to talk about it just because the drumbeat of criticism is so constant that it strikes me as unseemly, and I don't want to add to it, I suppose.
That is my feeling exactly. And look, we can sit around and find things in anybody that we don't agree with. But that's not what this issue is about. This president is the most pro-life, pro-religious liberty, pro-Israel president in history, bar none. And we need to continue to support him.
I mean, it's amazing. And the immigration issue, I have to say, what this president has done, to my mind, is that by being who he is, by being so strong on so many issues, he has effectively shamed previous GOP leaders. In other words, he has been so strong and clear on immigration, seeing the crisis. He's been so strong and clear on dealing with China that it makes many of us wonder, where in the world was the GOP leadership before? While we were being violated in all kinds of ways by China, why didn't our leaders take a stand? Why does it fall to Donald Trump to see these things that were, you know, hiding in plain sight for decades?
Well, and I don't want to get off in the political weeds here, but we know where some of them were. In fact, we know now, looking back on some of our most recent Republican presidents, that while they were making overtures to people like you and me in the faith community, they were privately laughing behind their backs at us, and they were undermining the things that we believed in the most. And again, just look at the pro-life issue. You didn't have either of the Bushes. You didn't have President Reagan addressing the March for Life group. You didn't have them appointing so many conservative judges, 155 now. I mean, this president is unique. This is the kind of president we have been praying for, and that's why I think we need to support him, not because he's perfect, but because of his strong pro-faith policies.
I agree, obviously, and I'm just amazed. I really do have to say that I feel embarrassed when I think that I was such a strong advocate for Mitt Romney when he was running. I was such a strong advocate for John McCain. And I now realize that what many people were saying, unfortunately, is quite true, that there really was in some ways one political party. It was a bunch of cultural elites who really were part of the swamp, who did not really care about the things that they ought to have cared about. But we really had no other choice. And it's kind of the way the Democratic Party has for 50 plus years taken black Americans totally for granted, done nothing to help them because they knew we've got their vote in our back pocket. They're not going anyplace. I really feel that the GOP has done that with people of faith, with evangelicals like you and me. And it really, it just looks so shameful now that you have a president who is trying to advance the things that we believe in. And by the way, it's not just what we believe in. These things really are true. We really do care everybody and the unborn and everybody. So it's, but it's such a strange time to have, it's almost like having the scales fall from my eyes.
You know, people are saying, you know, they say, well, don't you realize he's just using you all? This is just a transactional relationship. Well, duh. Of course it's transactional. Yeah. Politics is transactional.
Right. Thank you.
The difference is this guy actually takes the transaction seriously. He doesn't take us for granted. He knows he needs our support. And in his mind, he has a checklist of things he's checking off. I don't care what the motivation is. Righteousness is being accomplished and lives are being saved for the unborn. And we ought to celebrate that.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, his leadership really, it has astounded me. To see him bring up things that everybody's thinking about, but no one ever thinks you could even mention it or you could say it. I mean, this president talks about political correctness. I remember in some kind of a rally not too long ago, he brought up, you know, those incandescent light bulbs. And I thought most Americans have thought that, but we just kind of thought, well, it's like living in the EU. We just have to deal with everything, whatever they give us. And he stands against even things like that. And I just have to laugh because I've never seen anybody as in tune with the people he's serving. And some people could say that's transactional, but that is the role of a leader, is to care about the things that we care about.
That's right. And look, nobody's looking for Washington, D.C. to bring a great revival to this country. That's the role of the church. But I think the president is fulfilling the God-given role of government. 1 Timothy 2 says it's basically to keep us safe and to leave us alone to practice our faith. That's the best you can hope for government. And I think the president's doing a great job in helping that.
Thank you, Pastor Jeffress. Folks, do not neglect to pick up a copy of Courageous. Pastor Jeffress, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for your endorsement of the book, Eric.
Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Lead us less too far, we wonder. Love, sweet voices calling.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. You're back in the bunker. We've been talking to Robert Jeffress, a dear friend, about his new book. But in hour two, we're going to get really kooky. Albin, Chris, James, we're going to get really kooky in hour two. We've got, of all, we start out non-kooky. We're talking to Tom Tradup in the first segment. In hour two, we get super kooky, a bunker video. We've got more Sadar's radar.
Exactly. And I'm going to explain why I have a teddy bear sitting behind me. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So that's an hour two. It's going to get crazy up in here. And then we're going to talk to our friend at the Alliance Defending Freedom. You're not going to believe what we talked to him about. You're just not going to believe. Just stay tuned. You'll see. And he'll be with us on a bunker video, right? He's going to be in the bunker, participating in the bunker. You know what? Now's a good time to say this, Chris. You had an idea. We normally say, but we keep forgetting to say, that if you give to Food for the Poor, if anybody gives $500, now, by the way, you can give monthly. So if you want to give to Family of Four, $320 a year, you can give $27 a month, right? You can do whatever you want per month. But anybody who gives $500, you can do that on a monthly basis. I don't know what it adds up to. What is that up to? You know, something like $40 a month. But if you give $500, you get to visit us in the studio. That's in the Golden Studio whenever we get back there, as you know. And you also know that, by the way, maybe you're not going to be getting to New York anytime soon. So you get all the signed books, you get all that stuff, but you don't have the opportunity to visit us in the studio. You could send a friend, you could send a family, you could send a class of second graders. We don't care. We'd love to have people visit us. But here's what Chris thought of. Actually, Chris, you should say it.
Well, I just had the idea that, like, since we're all in the bunker, it'd be fun, you know, virtually, if we wanted to offer a virtual visit to the bunker from one of the viewers. Yeah.
So what that means is that this week, because we can't guarantee this next week, but if you give today, tomorrow, or Friday, in the amount of $500, whether that's, you know, $48 a month or $43 a month over the year, or just a $500 gift, you can choose not to visit us in the bunker live whenever the bunker open. Oh, I'm sorry, not the bunker.
The studio.
But you can actually come on this program and be with us in the bunker. You can be on this program and chit chat with us. That's for $500. That is like a bargain. Holy cow. I hope some people are going to take advantage of that, because you know that's going to be fun. You know that's going to be a lot of fun.
That's better. That's almost better than the studio visit. If you want to know,
I was going to say, you're going to be famous. You're going to be on one of these bunker videos back in the future. When we look back on this time and we say, remember during that COVID thing, and people are going to say, what's that? And you say, oh, well, a long time ago, there was this plague and we had to do this program from our own homes. People are going to say, get out of here. And we're going to say, yeah, here's a video. And we're going to show you the video with you in it, whoever you are listening. Anyway, we just want you to go to our website, metaxastalk.com, to give to Food for the Poor. If you want to call, you can give by calling 844-863-HOPE. That's 844-863-HOPE. Yesterday, we raised no money for Food for the Poor. We thought today we need to just remind our incredibly generous audience. You guys are amazing. A lot of you have already given. We're grateful to you. But to those who haven't, giving something makes us feel better about what we're going through. So I just want to encourage you again. You can call right now, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. In hour two, we've got some kooky bunker video stuff, some jokey stuff, Albin Sadar's radar coming up. And then we're going to be talking to somebody from the Alliance Defending Freedom. Do not go away.